want you to look at Isaiah 7:14 today as we focus on Advent and then the blessing of hope that we have in Christ. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, have a son, and will name him Emmanuel, which means that God is with us. Let's pray together. Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. May he hear from us. And then we're going to take a good pause, a lengthy pause here to say thanks. So I grew up with an old song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. And Logan's just going to play, and we're going to give you an opportunity. So just be thankful. Just take a moment and let's stop. And let's just count our blessings and say thanks to him for them. Father, we are thankful for the gift of Jesus, the promise of Jesus. And we are thankful for how you've blessed us, Lord. Every good and perfect thing that's ever happened to us, it hasn't been luck. It's been your blessing. It all comes from you, the Father of lights. And so, Lord, we just want to pause and say thank you. Not just a seasonal thank you, but a life that says thank you. A life that overflows with thanksgiving. And Father, we thank you for blessing our church the way you do. We work every day to present the gospel, whether it's preaching to a group of people or it's pastoral care to one person or it's through Kids Way or it's through sending people out and ministry, supporting ministry throughout the world. And we exist every moment of every day to advance your kingdom and to present your gospel. And you've blessed us, and we just want to say thank you for that. But more importantly, thank you for the blessing of your son. Help me, Lord, to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Lord, help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you see all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher and I'm your preacher. On me is a harder judgment, a more strict judgment. And Lord, I know that. I surrender to that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be able to see you all today and be blessed. And maybe we've had enough turkey and had enough naps, you know, to get to where we are today. And I want to thank you. I want to handle what Logan has already said to you. I grew up not practicing Advent during Christmas. I grew up just honoring and celebrating the birth of Christ. But as he mentioned to us, Advent is the two arrivals of Christ, his birth, and then we look for his return. So we're dealing today with the hope that we have and is found in Christ. We're going to be using Isaiah 7:14. He said, you'll get a sign that this is going to happen, and a virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel, which is Christ, which is God living with us. He said this will happen. There'll be evidence of that. I want to handle hope today in the topic of hope in a biblical pattern, and then the evidence that comes from it. C.S. Lewis wrote this, and I want to share it with you. He said, before there was a manger, there was a promise. And I love that line. There was a promise of God. Even the manger of Christ, the birth of Christ, is extended promise from our Lord. So I'm going to give you four things today that we're going to handle. One is we have hope in believing. We also have the hope of the glory of God, that we get to join that. And not only that, we have hope because of the resurrection, and then we have hope in the return of Christ himself. So let's look at hope in believing, Hebrews 11:1. If you're ever you can go back, that's fine. You can go back, she knows my sermon better than I do. That Paul wrote to Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, and he pauses and says, our hope. And this hope here is a hope in a person. It's in the very person of Christ. Now we have hope in believing, which is Hebrews 11:1. And I grew up with this being a definition of faith, but the reality is it's a description of faith more than a definition of faith. And if you have the opportunity to read Hebrews chapter 11, you're going to find just little summary stories of people, but by faith Moses, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, and you'll get little bitty summaries of what they did in their life. And then even the faith of people that aren't mentioned, their names aren't mentioned, they're recognized, but not by their name, but by their work and their faithfulness of what they have done. It says, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. That we are a people of faith, okay? We're all in. That's what the word faith here means. It means believing, it means pisteo faith, it means we're all in. I'm not half in, I'm not straddling the fence, I'm all in. And we're people of faith. And just to help you, I try to preach to help you in very practical ways. Not just to make this a seminary class for you, which I could do, but I refuse to do that. And that is, faith is, you and I as believers, we see through a lens of faith. I see everything through faith. I don't live a worldly life and then have faith on the side here like a generator when the power goes out, you know? I live it. Everything I see, it's through an element of faith. I can't look any other way. We're people of faith. That's who we are. And this is more than a definition. This is a description of us. Now faith is a reality of what is hoped for, and it's proof of what is even not seen. We're not people. We're people of faith. We're not people of superstition. I grew up with strange superstitions in my culture growing up, like walking in one door and out the other door, and walking under a ladder, and all kinds of, an umbrella opening up in a house. You know, I mean, you'd see that and you go, oh man, you know, breaking a mirror. And some of us, we think we're attractive, but we've probably broken a few mirrors, you know, just by looking into it. I grew up with weird stuff around me, not just really in my family, but just thing, you know, black cat going across the road. I had a man that I considered my uncle, and he thought if he spit in a hat that it would counter the spell of a black cat going across the road. And he wore one of those hats, you know, those little old man hats, you know. And we'd see a black cat going over, and he would fake spit, you know, like you did in junior high to somebody's hair, you know, like you're spitting at it. Please tell me you understand that. Okay, good. So, but he'd take his hat off and fake spit in it, like it undid the spell of the black cat crossing the road. And I just grew up with some weird stuff, man. I'm just going to tell you, it wasn't occultic. It's just weird. We're not people of superstition. We're not people of wishes. We are not people with a hope so, because a hope so still has a doubt line in it. Okay, it still has doubt that's in there. We're not blind optimists. We're not pie in the sky kind of people. We're not cross fingers. And this happened recently. We're not knock on wood kind of folks. We don't live by superstition. We live by faith. My faith and trust is in the Lord. We're not people of maybes. We're people of faith. We have faith that God can, and we trust him that he will, and he will always work according to his promises to us because they don't change. Remember C.S. Lewis's line, before there was a manger, and thank God there was a manger, but before there was a manger, there was a promise. And he is extending that promise and he continues it. So the word hope in Hebrews 11:1 is not superstition or all that we talked about. It's a firm conviction. It's a certainty. It's an assurance. The word proof there is really a legal term. It's title. It means title and deed. In other words, that he belongs to you. I mean, it's almost contractual. That the proof of what is not seen, it just becomes this beautiful transaction that happens with the Lord. In Hebrews 11, I've told you about these people that you'll read by faith, Abraham, Moses, Sarah, all these folks, that they believe two things when you read the whole chapter. They all believed in the unseen. They believed in the unseen. Are you listening? And they trusted the promises of God. In other words, to these people that you and I consider giants in the faith, they knew the reality of the unseen was more real than the reality of the seen. I hope God uses me to make you think, and my challenges to you are not extraordinary or impressive. They're really pretty simple. But just sit for a minute and realize what I'm about to say here. That the unseen world is more real than the world that we live in that is seen. In fact, if it weren't for the unseen world, this world wouldn't be here. It wasn't that this world created the unseen world. It's the unseen world created this world. And even by faith, you can find that in Hebrews 11. It's by faith we understand creation. And the world we can't see is more real than the one we can see, but yet we put so much stock in the one that we can see more than we do the unseen world. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. If some of you were a part of our Wednesday night studies, you know this verse well, actually. So we do not fix on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen becomes eternal. Let's look at Hebrews 11:27. And this is talking about Moses. By faith, he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger. For Moses, he persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. That he's able to be guided and directed by him. The certainty of who the Lord is to him in the unseen is more real than anything that's happening in the seen. And it becomes a picture. Many people look to the world and they see the world, but you and I, we are people of faith. We look through the lens of faith. And when we do this, we see a kingdom. I don't necessarily see a world, I just see a kingdom. And I see a king in that kingdom. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. It's what Paul wrote to Timothy, Jesus Christ, our hope. And that word hope is a firm conviction. And that's who we are. So we have hope in believing. Second thing I want to give you today is we have the hope of future glory, not only present, but future. Colossians 1:27 for a moment said, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles, and the Gentiles being used here is important because they were the outcast. They were the ones who were not in, okay? They were the ones who were out. And they made known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, and it's the hope of glory. We are promised to be involved and to participate in the glory of God. Moses, when he in the Old Testament, he even made a statement, Lord, I don't want to go from here to there without your presence. And Moses would go alone to be with the Father. And that's what I try to get you guys to do. Man, when emotionally in your life, when the check engine light comes on, just like it does on a car, man, that's when you need to go to the Father. I mean, if a check engine light comes on to your car, you need to go to the mechanic. You know, when the check engine light comes on in your life, you need to go to the Father. That's what Moses did. And Moses would go be with the Father. He would come back, and people knew that he was with the Lord because the glory of God was on him. I mean, they saw it on him. It changed his countenance. In pastoral care sessions, I've seen people's countenance completely change by just being in the presence of the Lord. So we participate in the glory. Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a mountaintop. We now call it the Mountain of Transfiguration. And his whole body changed into a glorious body, which is really a promise of what will happen to us. And then Moses and Elijah showed up, and they're having a conversation with Jesus. And Simon Peter, he's flipping out. Man, I mean, he's Southern Baptist. That's just what we do, build stuff all the time, right? He's like, man, let's just make three tents here in honor of all of Moses and Elijah and Jesus and everything that we just experienced. And he had this phenomenal experience. They saw the glory of Jesus in bodily form. They saw that happen. Look at Romans 8:17. It talks about we participate in that as well, that it's given to us. He says we are his children. And if children, we're also heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Do you see that? In other words, we're not underclassmen. I mean, whatever he gives Jesus, he's given to me and you. And you may not believe that in your theology, but his word promises that. We're not underclassmen. We get the same with Christ. Do you see that? That heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with him, and if we suffer with him, we're also going to be glorified with him. And this is part of our hope. It's the hope of glory in Colossians. It's who he is. I can't wait for that time. It's a promise of God. That's not pie in the sky stuff. That's a truth that's given to us from the unseen world to the seen world. That one day you will share in the glory that is established with Christ. I won't see it from a distance. I won't be an underclassman. Whatever he gives Jesus, he's going to give his believers as well. I mean, what a deal, right? You talk about Black Friday and Cyber Monday. My gosh. You know, I mean, what a deal that he gives to us. We have hope in believing. We also have hope in a shared glory with him. And we have hope because of the resurrection of Christ. Look at 1 Peter 1:3. We sing this song often. It's called the Living Hope is what we sing. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's given us a new birth. We're born again. We're new, not better, new, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That, please understand, the power that raised Jesus from the dead was not for that one moment in time only. It's not like heaven had to generate all this power and get all our power bars up to a certain level and then zap Jesus like it's some defibrillator, you know? And then that's all we're going to use it for. The resurrection power of Christ is what saves us. We were dead and we were crossed over unto life. Resurrection happened to you. You were dead in your sins and your trespasses, and you were raised into the newness of life, into the power of life. And it's resurrection power that put all that together. It's the power that sustains us, that holds us up. It's the strength when you are weak. I mean, when you can't go, it's the strength that empowers you. It is what gets us through. So we have hope because of the resurrection of Christ. And the resurrection power of Christ is still going on today. When people are converted and saved, when we're getting through tough times and difficult times. So we have hope in believing, we have hope in the glory of God, and we get to share that with Him. And then we have hope because of the resurrection, and we have hope in the return of Jesus. Look at Titus 2:11-13. For the grace of God has appeared with salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lust. Remember, we see through a lens of faith, not through the lens of the world. Worldly lust, and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope. The return of Christ is titled the blessed hope. And he goes on to say that, and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The return is looking for the hope of his return. Last Sunday, we did communion together. It was a day of giving and remembrance and even baptism. It was great. I was kidding before the service. I said, you know, Jesus has got to be here today because, I mean, we've got baptism, we've got the Joash chest, and we've got communion. You know, I mean, he almost has to be, right? The picture, even in last Sunday when we did communion, we ended it with a verse in Corinthians, which says we eat the bread and we drink from the cup until his return. Even communion looks to the return of Christ. It is a biblical pattern to not only remember his arrival at birth, but to combine it with remembering when he returns. Now, there's a lot of language out here today, a lot of seasonal teaching that the Lord's coming back on a certain time and a certain time and a certain time. I want to remind you that Jesus says neither he nor the angels know. In Acts 1, it says only the Father knows that timeline. He has the authority to have that. I don't pay attention to people's dates and all that goes with that, but we get stirred up when we hear that. And I'm just going to observe as a pastor. And this is what I sense, and this is what my conversations can be about with people. Because you'll be hearing, you know, is what's going on over there? Is that one of the signs of the end times? Is that one of them? You know, and it goes on and on and on. And here's where I think people get fidgety. Is I think you have a bucket list, and you want to get that bucket list done before he returns. I joke, and it is a joke. Some people go, well, I heard the Lord's coming back next spring, and I'm going, well, I hope he waits till after turkey season, you know, and I like the end of May, you know, just let him see when we've got Kentucky turkey season, and let's just let him hold up. And I say that jokingly, but I think what happens with us is we get fidgety because we hear his return. We hear signs of his return, possible signs of his return, and nobody believes he's returning more than I do. But I think we get fidgety because I haven't done this, I haven't done that, I haven't experienced this. Can I just tell you, the people of that day in biblical culture, they couldn't wait for him to return. I mean, it was hurry up, you know? And I think we get a little bit shaky because we're going, I want to go to the Grand Canyon, you know, I want to experience this in my life and all that, you know? And guys, just let me help you here for a moment. That possibly could be an indication that we see through the lens of the world. But as people of faith, come on. I mean, come on. It just becomes a picture. And have I had bucket lists in my life? I have. Do I now? No, not really. I really don't. When Tom passed away, a lot of things changed in our life. And so I don't do a whole lot of planning way out there. I just want to know for you, those of you who are younger and you're going, well, man, how do I live this life of faith? Folks, just listen to me. You just take the next step that he shows you and don't worry about the second or third step. Just take that step. That's all you're responsible for. You take that one. And I promise you, he'll give you another one. And when he gives you that next step, you take that one. And you're going to wake up in the middle of God's will. You know, you're like, well, what's God's will for me way out yonder? And I understand yonder. Do you understand yonder? What's God's will for me? Well, quit looking out there. Don't look out there. Just be a man and a woman of faith. And if you take the next step, boom. And then later on, he gives you the next step, boom. And when you look up, you're going to be right in the center of everywhere he's wanted you to be. And that's what you do. One step at a time is what happens. Your word, Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It highlights my next step, and then it gives me a picture, even of the unseen, of where this is going. And don't worry about the bucket list, because the bucket list can be an indicator that we have a worldly view. It's, I don't know what all my future has. I don't know what all my future has. I have little hints of it here and there, but I mean, will I retire from here? Yeah, one day I will. And don't go starting a rumor that it's going to be today. It's not. But the picture is, I know there's something beyond here in a call of ministry that will continue for Julie and for me. And I don't know what it is, but I'll just take it one step at a time. Do you all see that? Do you receive that? Quit trying to figure it all out. Don't work on figuring out, try to figure it out. Just take the obedient steps. Is he going to lead you wrong? No. Is the Holy Spirit going to lie to you? No. Why? He's the Spirit of truth. He can't lie. The Holy Spirit can't lie to you, because he's nothing but the Spirit of truth. It says he guides you into all truth. And you've got to learn to be able to trust that. That wasn't in the first service. And I pray a prayer for a word of knowledge. And I think it came to me for whomever that's for today. Let that be a blessing to you, okay? Just live that life of a next step. Don't worry about the bucket list. Quit worrying about 10 or 15 years from now. Life can change this afternoon. And we're people of faith. That's who we are. We're not people of superstition. We're not people of wishes and doubtful statements like I hope so, or blind ambition or blind optimism or cross fingers or knock on wood. That's not who we are. We have faith that God can, and we trust him that he will lead us in that life. Amen. Do you receive that? Good. Hang on. Well, since you said that, the sermon may be a little longer, but So we have hope in the return of our Lord. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, which means I lack nothing. There's nothing on a bucket list that can satisfy me like the Lord can, right? And he will fulfill that. And you got to learn to be able to trust that. So in that, the return of Christ is referred to as the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this hope is a firm conviction. We have his presence, we have his word, we have his spirit, we have the love of the Father, and we have all the promises of God. Yet we seek the world and everything in it. Let me show you and give you this. I've been laughing about this over the last few days. People have probably been searching more about Lane Kiffin either staying at Ole Miss or going to LSU than you've been in the Word of God. And then it gets into just posting wars. He's going to get $12 million a year at LSU. Well, they're going to match it at Ole Miss. Well, if he goes, he's not going to be able to coach them in the college football playoff. And it just goes back and forth. Have I read that? Absolutely. How do you think I got it? But the truth of it is, I bet you some of you have updated that today because they're supposed to meet at 10 o'clock Central Standard Time. So do you see what I'm saying? Here's the point. You say you don't have time to be with the Lord. Oh, please. Come on, I'm telling you. You binge watch Netflix. You don't have time to be with the Lord. And a lot of times you're watching stuff you won't need to watch anyway. It's just junky. And the picture is this, we'll say we don't have time. Guys, you gotta realize a lot of us will look through the lens of the world instead of a lens of faith. And we live with the lens of faith. And just being in his word, like I brought this Gideon New Testament, and it's precious to me for a lot of reasons. It's a green, the Gideon's, their New Testaments are color-coded, like white goes to the medical field, nursing, camouflage goes to military, red ones go to elementary school kids. So the green ones go to the universities and the college campuses. So we had to go to convocation at Campbellsville University, and you had to have so many. If you missed them, you had to go to the library and listen to them, which is horrible. So there's a way you go in and out before we had the convos, and there was a back way. A lot of people sneak out, and so I decided to go out the back way. But the Gideons were pretty sharp that day. They had somebody out at the back door, and it so happened it was my future father-in-law that gave me this. And I carried it with me. Now, I talk about the hope. Was I at a time wondering who I was going to marry? Sure. Was I at a time where I was praying for God to give me somebody to date instead of just the casual dating of going out to eat and seeing a movie? Yes. Well, when Ted Wynn gave me this, I knew Julie, but we knew each other. My father-in-law bought suits at her dad's store, so we all knew each other. That wasn't the issue. But only God knew that when he gave me this, that one day he would be my father-in-law. I can't see that. Only God can see that. And I would date his daughter, marry his daughter. Was I concerned about, Lord, is there anybody out there that's going to love me or that I can love? We've all been there. And was I thinking that? I mean, when he handed me this, I had this automatic revelation, like it was some cartoon thing or some avatar thing, or where it's like, you're going to marry Julie. You know, no, that didn't happen. I was just taking it and going on, you know. But I carried this thing with me everywhere I worked. It was always in my lunch pail. It's worn out. It's got coal dust in it from the coal mines. And what I love about it at the front is the Gideons are sharp. If you're worried about something, you just look it up alphabetically and it shows you where to go to if you're worried. If your anxiety is high, it tells you where to go. If you've been betrayed by a good friend, it tells you where to go. If you need endurance or empowerment from the Lord, you just look it up alphabetically and it tells you where to go. We say, I don't have time to be with the Lord, yet you and I escape to a lot of other places, don't we? Let's be honest. We escape, we'll binge watch, we'll stay busy, you know, we'll do shopping therapy, we'll do whatever. And we say we don't have time to be with the Lord. And every promise of him is right there. Of being in his word, of being in his presence. Even the simplest of questions is just right there. I will cherish this. Let me tell you where I really got the picture that the world has the wrong set of lenses on. I get a lot of Thanksgiving, you know, greetings and stuff during, you know, being a preacher, and so I'm texting back, I hope you have a good Christmas. And so when I mean a good Thanksgiving. And so when the word hope came up, this is the emoji that came up with the word hope. I don't know if it's on yours or not. It's on mine. Every time I type hope, that I'm not an emoji guy, but that's the emoji that pops up. You know what that tells me? That the world only has a wish. That's a wish. That their picture of hope is a wish. Our picture of hope is a person. And it's the person of Jesus. And we have hope in believing in him. We have hope in the glory of Christ. We have hope in the resurrection of Christ. And we have hope in the return of Christ. That's not my worldview. I'm not going to live by superstition. I'm not going to live by crossed fingers or knock on woods or I hope so, which is a doubt line. Maybe. I'm not going to live by maybe. I'm going to have faith that God can. I'm going to have faith that God will. And he is a living hope. His word is alive and living. He's a living hope. Look at Colossians 3, 16 and 17 for just a moment. It says, let the message about Christ, the Messiah, dwell richly among you and in you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing of psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. You wonder what all that means? Being in his presence and being in his word will give you, excuse me, it'll give you a song in your heart and a skip in your step. You know, that's really what that means. And the beauty of it is we do this with gratitude, knowing that thanksgiving overrides our anxiety. It's clinically proven, but the Lord's already given us that in Philippians 4. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's what we do. That's who we are. You know, the holidays are difficult for us. Tom's death, Julie's parents' death, it's just tough. You all know that. We're not the only family that goes through that at all. It becomes tough. Whatever tradition we used to have, we no longer have anymore. It just happens, you know. Did we get to see the grandson? I knew you were thinking that, so I'll go ahead and ask you. Yeah, we did. We got to see him on Friday, and we don't even care about Andrew and Maria anymore. We don't even say hi to them. We just go, where's the little man, you know? So we're like, we hope y'all doing okay. But the picture is it's all changed. But hang on. You know, many of us grieve during the holidays, and you may be grieving now, but here's the hope advent. The Lord says other people grieve, but we don't grieve like them. We grieve with what? Hope. Hope. Like, here's the picture of all that. And I'm sitting in front of a lady named Hope, you know, and another one named Hope. And a church named Hope, which we'll get to that one in a minute. But the picture is of this. People, and I'm going to get simple. It's what I pray to be, plain and simple. People get into what's heaven? You know, is it Abraham's bosom? Is it heaven? Is it fulfilled heaven until the Lord comes back and then it matures? Is it called paradise? What is it? And I look at people and I go, you're missing it. You know, the thief on the cross, the one who surrendered to him. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Yes, we can get into a discussion about paradise. I don't dodge it, but let's hang on to the message. He said, today you'll be with me. I don't care what you call it. I don't care if you call it Abraham's bosom. I don't care if you call it heaven yet to be, you know, now and then be fulfilled later, or if you call it paradise. He gave me an invitation to be with him. And that's grieving with hope. That those we missed around the dinner table Thursday, we know that did we grieve? Yes. Does it mean you quit grieving? No, but we grieve with hope. And it's a firm conviction that those who believed are with him. That's how we get through. Is it's all based on the promise and it's all based on the truth of who he is. I want to give you a quick story about how hope started in I was in a prayer meeting. This is before we actually launched. We were like, what do we call our church? And this is one of the reasons I wanted to preach this today. And I was in prayer meetings with myself, Greg Scott, Cecil Wells, his brother Steve, Steve Rose. Many of you all don't know those people. Many of you do. And we were in a prayer meeting together. And we were talking about a name. And I don't mean to act like I'm prophetic or anything. I'm just going to tell you what happened. I was in that prayer meeting, and I got a vision of the words H-O-P-E, hope. And I told them that. I mean, right in the prayer, I said, I see this. And was that new and weird to me? The answer is yes. Because I used to, you know, I'm a Southern Baptist preacher. You know, that stuff's weird to Baptists. And I saw eight, capital H, lowercase O, lowercase P, lowercase E. And I graduated in 1978, Julian 79. And back then, the cool thing for your senior picture was you had life-size numbers, like 78. And then you would lean on them in some contemporary way, not Facebook posts, you know, but you would lean on them on the E or the eight, you know, like a senior picture. And I had a picture of Jesus leaning on the E, and he was just so relaxed. No pressure. Lots of power, but yet meek. And he was leaning on the E. And I just asked the question in prayer in front of all these guys. What does that mean? And he said, how? The H is how, the O is our, the P is people, and the E is experience. He said, how are people experience? And then he patted his chest, how they experience me. That's why we're named Hope Church. That's why we answer the phone. There's hope. Why? Because we have him. We have him. And we have hope in believing. We have hope in the shared glory that he has. We have hope because of the resurrection. He's a living hope. And we have hope in the return of Christ. And it's how people experience me. And this is the blessing I gave you last Sunday. My favorite blessing of all of Scripture is Romans 15:13. Excuse me. And in this, he says, now may the God of hope, not a superstition, firm conviction. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in getting to believe, because we have hope in believing, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That happens. And I pray that upon you all today. It's hope. It's not a wish. It's not superstition. It's not cross fingers. It's true. And that hope will last forever. And that hope is in him. And I pray you go there often. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. May we receive not just the preaching, Lord, but your word today. That your return is a blessed hope. Lord, that the power of the resurrection is a living hope. The glory that you say that we are going to share, not only your suffering, but your glory, is a shared hope. And that we have a firm conviction because we're able to focus on the unseen more than the seen. It's certainly the faith hoped for, that your promises are true. That before there was a manger, Lord, there was you and the promise of you. And we thank you for that. Father, lead us in walking and trusting just one step at a time. Guide us away from worry, past that step, just one step at a time, Lord. Faithful steps. And we know that you will lead us. We thank you that even in our grieving, we can grieve with hope in you. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, would you find your place, please? And the invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, come. You may want to be prayed for, prayed over, prayed with. Whatever you need to do, you come and you respond today.